Hey friends, welcome back to the Work Your Wealth podcast, the show where we're teaching you how to make smarter choices with your money. I'm your host, Mary Beth Storjahan, certified financial planner and founder of Workable Wealth. Today on the show, I'm super excited to have Angela Chi as a guest. Angela is a media and communication coach and speaker. She helps visionary entrepreneurs and leaders who are ready to be seen as the go-to expert be prepared for any opportunity on and off camera. She helps them to get more exposure and to be you amplified, confident, clear, and connected on stage, in videos, in the media, and in everyday life. She's a former TV news anchor and reporter, and she's worked in top TV markets from KCBS, KCAL TV, to NBC TV in Los Angeles, to Fox 6 and KNSD in San Diego. She's hosted shows for networks like E! Entertainment, HGTV, Channel One News, and helped launch Entertainment Tonight China. Angela, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Mary Beth. It's so fun to be with you. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you here. So you have an amazing background. You're a great expert when it comes to public speaking. And I just wanted to jump right into, like, this is a scary topic for people. And so why do you think so many people struggle when it comes to speaking in public or speaking in front of crowds or being themselves?
Yeah. And the thing I hear the most is that people just stop themselves. I think people expect that you just naturally are supposed to be a good speaker. And I think that stops people from trying and putting themselves out there and not valuing what they have to say. And a lot of times, you know, some people are born, they're more outgoing, but you don't have to be a huge personality to be a good speaker. You need to be connected and authentic in what you have to say in your message. So I think for a lot of people, when they get that feeling, you know, that feeling in your stomach of that, they call it nervousness or they're not ready, then they think that no one else has that as well. I'm a professional speaker and I don't know that I still get that feeling. And what I think about that feeling though, is that energy to get you going, to put yourself out there, that something big is about to happen. That energy is not a negative thing. So I think what stops people is that first they think that they have to be perfect, that they get that energy inside. So that stops them because that makes them nervous, whatever. And some people get more nervous than others. And so then they don't practice or ever get that opportunity to really just break through that barrier and put themselves out there. So I think that's the main thing. And I think that if people really understood the value of their message and they realized that it wasn't about them, then that nervousness would become a positive energy and they would put themselves out there more. And when they put themselves out there more, then they just become more confident speakers. And I think that's the key.
And so when you're working with clients, I mean, you work with some really top VIP, high-end people, and why is this a fear that they should tackle? Like, what's the benefit of learning how to speak in public and to command a presence on stage or in videos or even in everyday life? Like, why is this a life skill that you should have?
Because I think when you, like I say, I work with visionary entrepreneurs and corporate leaders, you don't want to be held back by that one thing. There's always a special feeling I think that a lot of my clients have that they know they were meant for more. They know they have something important to say and share. And it's not always about them. I think what pushes them over the edge at some point to really tackle their fears is that they realize what they have to offer, the wisdom they have to share is much bigger than their fear. And that's what pushes them ahead. But it's so important to break through that. Otherwise, I don't know if the listeners out there, if they ever feel like, you know what, I wanted to say that, oh, and I didn't. Or they hear someone else say it and they go, wait, that's what I was thinking. And they don't value what they have to say. And I think it's so important because you have so much to offer individually that you don't know until you put it out there. And that's why it's so important to cross that hurdle, whether you're making videos or doing Facebook Lives or trying to grow your business. I have a lot of clients that, you know, their message and mission is much bigger than, you know, being afraid to shoot a video, right? And once they do it, they go, you know what? I need to do this. People have been asking for it. I need to do this for them and not necessarily for me.
I love that you mentioned that because I do think a lot of people get inside their own heads and it becomes, oh, what will they think of me as opposed to the value that you're going to add? And I've faced that myself and I've done a lot of public speaking as well. That nervousness that you speak of is that energy and trying to harness it. But once you get up there and you realize it's kind of like a conversation you're having more than, you know, having to, you're teaching and you have something that these people don't have and you're providing them with new information and you're providing value in their lives. I think that's a really exciting and energizing spin to put on things.
Yeah. It's so magical. When I, you know, I can't say that I, you know, loved public speaking. When I was younger, my parents were Chinese immigrants, right? They didn't want to rock the boat. They, you know, were really quiet. They tell me, you know, to just follow in line, not speak out too much. You know, why did I become a public speaker? I was a shy Asian girl growing up, and I entered some speech competitions, and it kind of went from there. So it doesn't mean you have to be this huge personality to want to speak. I didn't go into television to be, I want to be super famous. I felt like that gave me an opportunity to share my voice and have a platform that I didn't have. And now everyone can have that platform. You don't have to go be a TV news anchor to, or a famous person to have a platform. Everyone has the platform at their fingertips now. You just have to be clear on what you want to put out there into the world. And I think that's so important.
And so tell us a little bit about your background. So you started off kind of shy, quiet, and then you've, your career has blossomed into having all of this, you know, media experience. And I think most recently, I saw that you were a media and expert coach for a new show with Timbaland that's produced by Timbaland, I believe. It's called The Pop Game.
Yeah. Does that sound about right? That was so cool. I was the media mentor on The Pop Game, which is a bunch of young aspiring singers brought to a house in Los Angeles. Timbaland's the producer and the host of the show, and he picked one to have a record contract. And I coached them through the media portion because, you know, Timbaland said, one of the things that you guys are going to be faced with is the press and the media and how do you handle yourselves? But I saw it as an opportunity. It was a great show because it was parents and kids. Pretty wholesome show, actually, even though it was competitive for a record contract, a recording contract, and to really teach them about the power of being true and authentic to what they are, not to be like, oh, I have to be a certain way because I want to get a record contract and I have to be on this way on TV, but really teaching them at a young age to be, you know, you're going to be faced with a lot of interviews, you're going to be put out there a lot, and to really be able to handle that, you know, right? What is their true, authentic self? And you don't really know that when you're a young kid. Right? They throw you out there.
Yeah.
So that was really special. And you were talking about my background. My background was really, like I said, when I was younger, I always wanted to be like Connie Chung. I used to sit at home when I was like, I don't know. For those of you who don't know who Connie Chung was, she was one of the first Asian newscasters on TV and also the first woman to anchor the CBS Evening News. Co-anchor with Dan Rather. And so when I was 8 years old, I was like, oh, an Asian woman, I want to be like her, you know? And my dad said, oh, you could be like Connie Chung. But then as I got older, he was like, oh, you don't want to do that. It's dangerous. Or, you know, you won't get married or you're not going to have kids. And so there was a lot of subconscious, you know, messages that were sent to me. Eventually, you know, if you go in deeper into my story, I broke through a lot of those, but I still have that cultural conditioning with me, which I think a lot of women have, as well as other people, depending on how you grew up. And so that was kind of my background, is that I always felt the need to kind of break through that, even though I have these inner voices inside that say, you know, maybe you shouldn't rock the boat. Maybe you shouldn't stand out, because that's kind of how I was raised. But I always felt that I had something to say. You know, I had more than whatever my fear or my cultural conditioning was. And so I always wanted to be a TV news anchor. I didn't do it right after college because I chickened out. I went to work in corporate. I worked at Paramount Pictures, which is more Hollywood, but still kind of tied to the TV industry, but I worked on the business side. And a couple years into it, I realized if I didn't go for it, I never would. And so then I started my work. I was living in LA, living the life, you know, working at Paramount Pictures, but I'd go every weekend to Palm Springs and became a reporter and work 7 days a week just because I didn't get paid enough. So I worked 5 days a week in LA and then 2 days a week on the weekend. And I just worked my way up to back to my hometown of Los Angeles and became a news anchor and reporter. And then I moved to San Diego to anchor the morning show. And once I had kids, my journey kind of evolved. So I love my TV news days. I've covered everything from celebrities to morning talk shows to wildfires to mudslides. But then after I had children, my journey shifted. And then that's when I left the news and started on this journey of really discovering who I want to be and what I want to put out there. And now I want to put out more positive messages and help people share their missions. You know, my clients are amazing people with amazing things that they're putting out there into the world. And that's kind of where my journey has taken me.
Where you're at now. So your signature thing is being you amplified. And what does that mean when somebody's amplified, or how do you start? Where do you begin?
Yeah. Well, you amplified is really, I came up with it because I was working with a lot of clients and they'd be on camera. And you know how sometimes when you're just like you don't feel like yourself on camera, like you feel like a little dull or a little turned down. And so I have this exercise where I have people turn up the volume, right? You know, different energies, like first you sense with their awareness. And I said, like, be you amplified. And so that evolved. It really means being confident, clear, and connected on camera and off. And it's really bringing out the core of who you are. I don't believe that you have to be a certain way. A lot of my clients will say, I want to be like you, or I want to be like Mary Beth. She has such a great podcast. And I go, you know what? What are you about? And so a lot of my work starts with digging deeper into your barriers, right? First, where you're at, like your awareness of yourself, then your barriers of what you have to break through. Like for me, sometimes it's my cultural conditioning, right? What are your barriers? Mm-hmm. And then how do you want to be seen in the world? We create a persona, you know, but the persona is you amplified, right? And so it's really about how do I want to step out into the world on camera, on stage, and in person? It should be the same person. Right? It doesn't have to change. You don't have to all of a sudden change your personality just because you think you're doing something on camera or on TV. The third part of You Amplified is really now that you're your whole you, the amplify is also, do you want to put it out there in video? Do you want to get on a local TV show and start becoming the guest expert like you are and really grow your business and your brand and your credibility? So it's kind of twofold. Right? Bringing out the best of you and then amplifying you and your message.
Which is really interesting. I love that you talk about that, you know, being you amplified and bringing out yourself, because even being in the industry that I'm in financial services, which is very much an old boys club, right? And so even when I've done public speaking in the past, I've always felt, well, when I first got started, it was always a matter of, ooh, should I wear a suit? And ooh, mm-hmm. like, what are these men going to think of me? And I just felt really uncomfortable. And I felt like I had to be somebody that I'm not. And I felt really stiff. And it wasn't until, you know, Workable Wealth came about and the branding, and I was able to be put more of me into the brand, that I became a lot more relaxed and confident and comfortable on stage in my messaging and who my audience was. And so I think that when we put ourselves in a box and try to be something that we're not, it becomes so much harder and it's so not authentic that it just basically puts up that roadblock for yourself to actually, you know, start to provide value to your clients or to the audience or whatnot. I think it becomes, public speaking becomes much harder to tackle when you are not confident with yourself first.
Yeah, definitely. And I know it sounds a little cliche, just be you, you know, everyone right. says that, but I feel like, you know, what is me? I don't know. Like I am being me, but I think the training for what I discovered is, you know, and that's what I think sets me apart when I work with people. They're like, well, I just want to start speaking. Like I can teach you how to stand and how to sit and how to walk and how to set up the camera and how to write your press kit and all that kind of stuff. But the true work really comes, that's why I call my You Amplify Foundation piece, is really discovering where you're at. Who are you right now? And you may shift at different points of your life. You know, how do you want to put yourself out there? Like who I was when I was in my 20s, trying to be the top news anchor in Los Angeles, is a very different person than I am now. And it doesn't mean it wasn't me. It just means that the persona of how you want to be in the world, how you want to feel, like that's one of my 7 steps, is really important. I have 7 steps to confidence, clarity, and connection. One of them is the feeling. You know, when you're out there, it's not just about who you want to put out there. It's like, how do you want to feel when you're speaking? How do you want other people to feel when they interact with you? Right? That kind of brings out that essence of you, which I think is really important. So it's not just be like, oh, don't be like everyone else. But I think it's taking that internal journey of figuring out, yeah, how do I want to be seen? And how am I seen right now? Which is a big key component, which just going into speaking training or just, you know, talking about how to get on TV doesn't really cover. And that's why with my VIP clients, we take that first step, which is going deeper within yourself. And a lot of it's mindset, these labels that we put on ourselves, that we think how we should be or need to be or want to be.
So talk to us a little bit more about those 7 steps. So the mindset is a big part of it and having some clarity there. What other things can you do to get yourself in the right place to do speaking and media?
Yeah. Well, one of my 7 steps, I'll go with, you know, the audience. So let's say like my first step is audience. I mean, that's pretty clear. Like, oh, talk to your audience. But if you think about it, I always say talk about your audience because I'll have a speaker and they'll say, you know, I'm giving a speech to a bunch of corporate executive men, right? Corporate executive men, maybe one woman in the audience. You're going to have to speak to them. You're not going to change who you are, but you're going to have to change how you speak to them a little bit. Like, what do they care about? You know, what's the feeling you want them to walk away with? Then when you're with a group of women, you may be giving the same speech, but the energy is different, right? Or let's say you're doing a podcast, which is 30 minutes long. You know, right now we're more conversational, hanging out, versus if you book your morning show interview, that's 5 minutes long, or even 1 minute long, or even 8 seconds long. And so that's one of the key steps, I believe, is knowing how to still be you, like creating your mission, you know your message, you know what you're about, but you change the volume, right? I was like, turn up the volume on who you already are. You change the volume and you change the channel a little bit, depending on your audience or the venue, or even your objective for that day. So that's kind of the seven steps is audience, and you shift your message and you move the dial a little bit. And I think knowing that is what makes people confident, clear, and connected, is that you don't just have one thing and just use it over and over. You have to be really in tune with who you're talking to and what your objective is.
I love that. And so building upon that, I know we can talk about like specific tips, like, yes, how do you stand and present yourself to the audience and whatnot. But I know one of the things that I get asked about a lot, and I know you specialize in, is getting media exposure. So how would somebody even start with that? Or what should they be considering if they wanted to be in the media, be known as a go-to expert? Where would you recommend somebody start in building that?
Yeah. You know, and also we'll put a link at the end with it. I have a 7-step media pitch checklist and guide, but it's really first, you know, once you're pretty established on, you've gone through those steps, like, you know what you're about. Maybe you're a health expert. Like, you know, I have one client who is a functional medicine doctor, brilliant, you know, has helped many, many people, has an established business, knows that she wants to help people, but she's never done media and she totally could. So the first step for her would be really just to put together, she already has all the components. She has a website, she has a picture, she knows what she's about, is really called, it's like a one sheet. It's almost like if you're a speaker, you have a speaker sheet, right? It's like a sheet that really says, here's my headshot, here's what I'm about, and here's what I talk about, and introducing yourself. So that's kind of almost making your website media ready. But the main thing is the pitch. The pitch is, what do you want to talk about, right? So like for you, yes, you're a financial planner and you've done tons of media and I think it's great. Like, you were probably really clear on what your story was and what you can offer to the station. So that's the mindset shift. So the technical part is that, yes, you need to have like a little one sheet so you can send it to them with a nice pitch. The other part is knowing that you are there to serve them. And I think that's the difference. I think when people want to get on media, they think, okay, how can I get my book on TV? Well, nobody cares about your book. nobody cares about your book. But then why do all those authors get on TV? Because either their publicist did a really good job. And so what I teach people to do is that you don't necessarily have to have a publicist and pay $5,000-$10,000 a month. You know, I mean, and publicists are great. I have not knocking publicists at all, but there's some people who are not ready for that type of publicity, and publicists handle all kinds of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You still, even if you have a publicist, you still need to be really clear on what are the things that you offer and you talk about. So that's the main thing, is start to think about, what would the station need from you? Like for you, when it's tax time, of course, they're going to need a segment about tax time. And you're focusing on a certain audience. It's like, well, what can I offer them? It's, you know, this time of year, like even some of the segments you do, you've always provided value, I believe. And that's why they keep calling you back, right? Because you don't say, I have a new book out, it's time for me to come on TV again. You say, no, it's tax time. I have these 5 ways to save you money. Or it's the summer. How can we save for the summer vacation? Like, you have to think of the topics and the hooks and how you can serve the stations. And so that's what I would tell people. But I do run down at the 7 steps, but it's really being clear on what you offer and how you can provide value, and then figuring out how to pitch them.
Yeah, and I agree. And how important would you say having that website and like kind of having like some sort of online presence is when you start to build a media path? I think one of the things that I've been approached about is people want to know how to get media exposure. And I think I agree with you. And like, you need to have your website done and people need to be able to kind of find you online already to validate who you are and to kind of vet you out. Do you agree with that?
I think if they can find what they need, you don't have to have a fancy website. I mean, it could be like a landing page, right? It could be like the core elements that someone needs is they need to know what you look like. They need to believe that you're credible and you know what you're talking about. Well, not look like and sound like, actually, for TV. And what are your topics? What can you provide me? It's really that simple. It doesn't have to mean like, if you're ready now, but your website's not ready, oh, well, just put your photo. They need a photo. They need a video. They need the topics that you want to talk about and a good hook that it relates to that time of year or the audience. And so it doesn't have to be that difficult, but there's also no guarantees that you'll get on. But yeah, I think it's important to have a web presence, but it doesn't mean the web presence has to be cost a lot of money or do a lot of things. They just need, I was on a panel, I'm friends with the Today Show producers, and they go, don't send me 6 pages of a press kit and your book. I'm not going to read it. You still didn't send me like your photos on the third page, right? They don't even know what you look like. They don't know what you said. They can't trust that they can put you on like a clip. They need a clip. For the Today Show, you probably need a local clip. But I have stories of some clients who went straight, you know, without that. But they just need to know what you look and sound like. And that could be a Facebook Live. That could be, but it has to show your expertise and your credibility. So they can tell right away if you're providing value. So it's as simple as that. A headshot, a video, and your topics and why it relates to their audience at that moment in time.
I love it. And so where would you say people start with getting their topics? I mean, in terms of when you're working with clients, do you help them to kind of think through like, here's the areas that I want to speak on and here's the things that I want to address? Or do they usually come to you saying like, here's the areas I want to speak on, help me to do that?
Yeah. What I really help people is, you know, they kind of already have to know what they're about, but I help package it in a way that's media friendly and package it. So I used to be the morning anchor at Fox 6 here in San Diego before it became Fox 5. And I was also part of the morning show booking. So I do 3 hours of hard news and then we'd have 2 hours of morning show interviews, right? So it'd be like the 5-minute interviews, like the authors, like I had like 4 or 5 guests a day. And it was so fun because I'd meet doctors and parenting experts and, you know, the zoo people put like birds on my head, but I booked a lot of the guests. And so I would tell them that, you know, the ones that I package it in a way that's media friendly, meaning it could be your blog posts, right? It doesn't mean you have to do all new work. It's like, what's relevant? So you look at the station, if it's a morning show that's in San Diego, you're like, well, what's relevant to San Diego? If it's a national show about animals, right? You're like, well, what's relevant to their audience? And that's where that audience piece comes in. Who are you talking to? Why does it matter to them? And then you take the topics that you already are passionate about and you create a pitch based on their audience. So it's not like you have to reinvent the wheel. At this point, if you're a go-to expert that's ready to be on TV, you should already have a whole variety of content that you know that people would value. Now it's putting it into my formula. Okay, what's the station? Where's the location? What's the audience? You know, what time of year is it? And really finding that hook. And so that's what I help people. I don't really help them create their content. I help them package their content in a way that's relevant to the specific media outlet that they want to get on. And that's what a publicist should do for you as well. But I teach you how to do that yourself so that you're always relevant, right? You're always relevant to the audience and you won't get thrown in the trash like a lot of people. Unfortunately, it was like, you know, they'd send me 7 pages of just writing of something. And I'm not going to read 7 pages of your latest book because I don't know what you're going to come on the show to talk about. I don't know what value it provides my audience. And I don't even see your picture.
Yes. So true. Yeah. I mean, even now when I get pitched for people, for guests.
And I feel bad.
Yeah. You feel bad, but I get books mailed to me. I'm like, I'm not going to read your book. Like, I don't know. Like, same thing. Just like even me as a financial planner, I have my own business, but people send me their books to be interviewed on the podcast. I'm like, I don't, you know, and also if you know me, like I have 2 small children. If you listen to anything that I do, like I don't have time to read a book. I read Disney books right now.
I mean, it seems so simple, but think about if I always tell people, think like a producer. Right? If you watch your favorite show that you want to be on or your favorite podcast or your favorite, whatever you want to do and go, if I was booking that show, what do I need from you so that you can save my time and still be relevant to the audience? And that really shifts the percent. They're like, oh, well, I worked really hard on this press release or my publicist did. And the press release is still relevant. The press release you need after you get booked for additional information. Right? Like they have to make sure they have the title of the book or maybe some backstory that they can read, but they need to book you first. It's almost like the bullet point, the pitch is like the cover letter that literally has like 4 items on it.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And I agree. I mean, I think it needs to be tailored to how you'll provide value to the audience. So that's the biggest thing is that's usually missing. A lot of people, like you said, are going to like, I want to get my book on TV. Well, that's fantastic. But what value are you actually providing to, you know, the audience there? And I think, you know, the interesting thing is I think a lot of these tips though also can apply to when you have like a corporate job as well, when you just work regular 9 to 5, like you also probably have to do a lot of public speaking or doing presentations to team members or to your bosses. And I think having a lot of this stuff, like knowing your audience is really key so that you can tailor things to them and speak to them and make yourself look better there. And do you work with people who do a lot of like inner, like corporate type stuff as well?
Yeah, I just did a huge presentation training workshop for an East Coast financial company. I say that because I can say the name. But you visualize that it's just such a different audience, right? So I have these fun entrepreneurs that are like, live your life, live your dream, get your mission. And you know, that's just not that when I go into my corporate East Coast clients that are like, I have a presentation and we have 5 minutes and here's my PowerPoint slides. And it's like, well, you can still be confident, right? It's just a totally different audience, right? And so even for me, I know that. I know my audience that's an entrepreneur online at home, you know, in their pajamas doing podcasts is different than the person that works on the East Coast and is like hardwired corporate, total structure, doesn't deviate, doesn't even know what online is, but they still need the same things. They need to be confident, clear, and connected when they communicate. So I was prepping them for one of their conventions and they had these top experts and they were wonderful, but they were all, a lot of them were research-based and they were scared to death of speaking. And so they all came to me with this deck like prepared and like, they're like, okay, all my slides aren't done, but you know, I can still work with you. And I'm like, you know what, just calm down. And it was really about, you know, I go, do you enjoy going to those conferences? They go, well, yeah, but sometimes it's boring. It's a lot of slides. I'm like, well, then why are you, you know, it's like a lot of slides. So I go, think like the audience. What do you want? Right? Let's say they were a mortgage banker and they're now the expert in it. And they go, well, when you were there sitting there 5 years ago, what do you want? So yeah. So tailoring it to the audience, to the message. And the big thing for me was the feeling part of the amplify the F. I asked them, I go, okay, you've done all this work. You are the go-to expert. You have all this research. You're definitely credible. Now you need to connect with your audience. What is the feeling that you want them to walk away with when you are done? And I think that really brings it in perspective of for the corporate. It's like people are so trying to like fit this mold and do this thing, but like how do you connect with the audience right off the top? What are they thinking, right? Who's in that audience? You know, like visualize who that is and speak to just them. And then what do you want them to walk away with at the very end? And I think that puts it all into perspective. So yeah, I work with a lot of corporate people and I still do some of those fun, soulful exercises with them. And we're doing like voice exercises in the corporate room and they're like, and we do some dancing too. So I know that the company didn't hire me just to do the corporate speaker training. And they're like, I can't. They're in the next boardroom. I'm like, well, here's what we're doing. And it really opened them up to be free, you know, out of that corporate mold, but still fit within a corporate presentation. I think it brought a lot of value to, you know, going a little deeper than just, you know, focusing on the slides and like how I should stand.
Which is so important. I love that. I love that you mentioned all of those things. I think it's often overlooked, especially when you are in the traditional 9 to 5, the feeling thing is kind of just like, oh yeah, it's what's going to go on my slides and what points can I like cram in here and how big does the font need to be? So I think that's really important.
And they have that already. They know that.
Exactly.
That's why they're the expert. That's why they were asked to speak. It's like, they don't have to worry about that portion. They really need to be clear and then connected, right? And that's what people will remember.
I love it. Okay, this has been so valuable. And I wanted to have you on because I think you have a ton of insight and you're such a resource in this side of things. And public speaking is really important. I think I know the majority of people want to be better at it. So thank you so much. So, okay, let's go ahead and transition to the wrap-up questions. And I think I sent these to you ahead of time. What would you say is the best financial advice you've ever received?
I think it's from my parents. Modeling them is always pay off your credit cards. I have this thing about fees and interest is that I always use my credit card as like a charge card. Like I always pay it at the end of the month. And if I miss it and it carries over, it like really upsets me. So I don't know. For me, that's always been a good thing. It's like I never went into debt. You know, I use my credit card all the time, but really just to carry over. And for me, that's kind of served me well. I've never, even when I was almost out of money, when I was early years of a reporter, like I was almost there, like at zero, 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 like no more money. I've never been in debt and, or credit card debt. And then I got my big job in LA. So it worked out. I was at zero and then I was able to make more money, but that's one of the key things that my parents taught me.
Yes. I love that advice. I do the same thing. I use it like a charge card, pay it off every month.
Yes.
Okay. So to flip that then, what would be the worst money advice you've ever received or that you've heard like tossed around?
That's a hard one. You know, it's just, you get a lot, right? And sometimes maybe I just didn't listen to it and it went over my head. I guess when I was younger, like don't invest, right? If you don't know what you're doing, just don't invest in anything till later, 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 later. And so a lot of times there are opportunities where I probably should have put more awareness into investing earlier on in my life when I was making a good, steady corporate income. It would have been really important.
That's a good one. I like that one. Okay. So to flip that then, what would you say, in addition to the worst money advice, would be your favorite money mistake you've made?
Oh, my favorite one is, it has to be favorite. Let's see. Yeah. The favorite, well, actually is, this is funny. You know, when you're young and I was trying to do one of those Scottrade accounts, I actually put money into the wrong thing because I didn't know what I was doing and it was the wrong thing. And I was like, oh no, get it back. And I actually made money off of it. So sometimes a mistake on clicking the wrong thing is better than knowing what you're doing.
Well, you mean like you bought the wrong
one? That's like, actually happened.
Like the wrong like fund basically or stock? Is that kind of what happened?
No, I put more money. I think I put more digits than I wanted to put in. And I was like, no. And then it actually was a good decision. It actually ended up making a return. So, you know, I don't know that. I don't advise that for anybody, but yeah. Sometimes those mistakes can serve in your favor.
The details matter. Okay. And what does
they totally matter. That's why I probably need to outsource to you for my financial financial planning.
And that's what your financial planner will do. They'll correct, check the numbers. Okay. So what does being wealthy mean to you?
You know, being wealthy is really about, for me, being abundant in all parts of your life. You know, your mind, your body, it's your soul. And it's not just about the money. It's that feeling of feeling really secure, so that you can be free to focus on fulfillment of what really matters, you know, and that can be different for everyone. Like I always say, like, you know, clarity about what matters gives you clarity about what doesn't. And, you know, for different people, it could be like being the most successful in your corporate role or being an entrepreneur. For other people, it could be raising wonderful children, having a loving, supportive family, or it could be all of those things. Hopefully it's all of those things. But for me, being wealthy is really feeling, it's really a feeling, right? There's been many times in my life where I've made a lot of money in my career and I felt a little depleted. And there's times where I didn't have much and I felt really wealthy. So I think as I continue to grow on my journey as a mom and an entrepreneur, my wealth continues to grow because I'm starting to truly discover layers to my voice and that I have a bigger mission and that my capacity to give continues to grow and that I'm able to share that wealth. So that is truly being wealthy, is when you reach a point where you start feeling like you can share that wealth and with your ideas and your energy and really what you want to put out into the world. So that's what being wealthy means to me.
I think you might have my favorite answer so far in like 60 podcast episodes. Aww. I think that was my favorite. I love that answer.
Aww. Yeah, it's just a feeling, right? Words are just they emote feelings. Obviously, it's great to have money, but it really goes back to that, you know, how do you want to feel? How do you want to be? And I've learned a lot from that, you know, being a mom and being an entrepreneur. I know I'm getting all deep, but, you know, chasing whatever you're chasing, and I've done that for years, being, you know, a news anchor and reporter. Really becoming an entrepreneur and a mom really shifts the way your capacity for wealth, right? Your capacity for abundance and what that really means to you. So thank you. That means a lot.
Okay. Angela, tell our listeners how they can contact you.
Yes. I am at angelachi.com and you can reach me at Angela Chi TV on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I think on your link, I'll also can send a direct link that'll help you get the easy 7-step media pitch checklist and guide. You can also get that on my website. I'll give you a link that they can have direct access to that if they would like it. And I also have a free Facebook group if everyone would like to check it out. It's at youamplifiedlive.com.
Perfect. Okay. I will make sure that all of that is linked to in the show notes, the media kit, the Facebook group. Thank you so much, Angela, for being on the show. This was such a great conversation. I loved having you here and getting to share your story and some tips for our listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. And I send you lots of love and success, continued success. And thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Work Your Wealth. If you're looking for more information on how you can make smart choices with your money, head over to workablewealth.com and sign up for 9 steps to workable wealth and get free tips and action items delivered to your inbox weekly.